CBS News. I'm Eric Escola in Minneapolis, where at least four people have died and 20 to 30 remain unaccounted for following yesterday's bridge collapse on a busy interstate highway. The Minneapolis fire chief is Jim Clack.
This is not a rescue operation any longer. It's a recovery operation, which means we move slower and more deliberately. We want to make sure and search everywhere.
With more on the bridge collapse, here's Frank Settapani in New York.
The accident last evening turned ordinary people into instant heroes. CBS's Tracy Smith has that.
One of the amazing things about this city is how people jumped out of their cars. People drove to the site to rescue other people. I spoke to a young man who heard a loud explosion, drove toward the site, and immediately got out of his car, got onto the bridge, started carrying stretchers with some of the rescue workers who had arrived, saved a number of people.
Others rescued children whose school bus had just gotten across seconds before the collapse.
Me and a bunch of other guys had to lift the kids off the school bus, bleeding, screaming, broken bones.
The question now, what went wrong? Minneapolis-based bridge engineer Dick Staley says federal investigators have their work cut out.
They will look at everything, and they will look at it thoroughly. They will determine why this came down, because we need to know.
I'm Peter Mayer in Washington.
There will be a good deal of on-scene investigation.
And National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Mark Rosenker says evidence could also be brought to Washington for lab analysis. The federal effort also includes the FBI, the Coast Guard, the Corps of Engineers, and other agencies. President Bush is receiving frequent updates.
The Minneapolis Star Tribune says a government report 2 years ago rated the bridge structurally deficient and possibly in need of replacement. Made in China and being recalled again. This time it's a million Fisher-Price toys. Big Bird, Dora, and other children's characters that may have high levels of lead.
The hazard is surface paint of these toys can contain excessive levels of lead. Lead is a toxic substance. If it's ingested by children, it's cumulative. It stays in the system.
And it can cause brain damage, says Julie Valise with the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Well, the long way around seems to be the preferred route for Cubans trying to sneak into the United States. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
Yes, Frank. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials say 90% of Cubans fleeing the island now enter the U.S. overland. Here's how it works. U.S. relatives pay thousands of dollars to organized crime networks who scoop their loved ones off Cuba's westernmost tip in powerful speedboats and then deposit them on the Mexican coast. Now, the Mexicans are worried. They're starting to see more of the kinds of crime associated with criminal gangs. Frank?
A world-renowned Irish singer, songwriter, and storyteller has died. A message on his website says Tommy Makem lost a long bout with cancer. He was 74. Just ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up a little bit more than 6 points. This is CBS News.
At 8:03, 70 degrees, partly cloudy skies, a high in the mid-80s with sunshine today.
Trusted information for the Twin Cities and the Upper Midwest. Live from the WCCO Newsroom. Uninterrupted, commercial-free. The 20 at 8 continues on today's 830 WCCO.
Good morning, and I'm Telly Mamayak in the newsroom. The official death toll from yesterday's bridge collapse in downtown Minneapolis has been revised downward. Initially, authorities said seven people were confirmed dead. Now that number stands at four. That's based on the sets of remains that are at the Hennepin County Medical Examiner. Minneapolis Police Lieutenant Amelia Huffman.
As you might imagine, there is a fair amount of chaos in the first few hours of an operation like this, and our emergency operations center gets those numbers from a variety of sources, including the area hospitals, medical teams on the scene, police officers and recovery teams at the location of the incident. They bring all that information together and come up with the best possible numbers. That was the figure we were working with last night.
And that death toll of four is expected to rise. 20 to 30 people remain missing and 60 others are recovering from their injuries this morning. Minneapolis police and fire officials just held a news conference with the Hennepin County Sheriff on the tragic collapse of this bridge. WCCO's Eric Escala was covering, and he joins us live with a recap.
Right, Kelly. Officials say this is now a recovery instead of a rescue mission and say it's going to be a slow, deliberate process. And they use that phrase several times. Perimeters have been set up in southeast Minneapolis to limit traffic. And it's going to be a 3 to 4 to 5 day operation, complete with divers, heavy equipment, sonar, state-of-the-art type equipment, both above the level of the Mississippi River and into the water itself. This is Minneapolis Police Chief Tim Dolan.
We know that there are numerous other vehicles that are in the water. And so the recovery involving those vehicles and people who may be in those vehicles is going to take a long time. We're planning on staffing this perimeter for 3 days minimally, and it's probably going to be longer as far.
Governor Pawlenty and Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback, other officials are touring the bridge collapse, and they'll be reporting back to the public and the news media at about 9:15. For now, reporting live from Southeast Minneapolis, Eric Eskelub, 830 WCCO Radio News.
Now, another big part of the story is the outpouring of support for the victims and tales of survival. WCCO Susie Jones has that part of the story live from the scene.
You tell me, really, the outpouring of support and how people so quickly rallied to the aid of those people on the bridge that needed help, just astounding. One of them, Jay Reeves, he is an EMS and public safety director with the American Red Cross, which just happens to be near the site of the crash, ironically, and he was on his way home. Jay, tell us what happened. Once you saw what happened, you went over and said what on the bridge and in what kind of commanding way?
Well, I have a very loud whistle, and what I did was I whistled as loud as I could, and I said very forcefully, if you can hear my voice and you can walk, get out. Let's go. You need to get away from this area, and that was my entire priority initially.
And you heard the bridge what?
Once it had come down, when I got out of my car, I could hear some sort of it was just a groaning noise. I don't know what it is. All I know is that I have an unstable situation. People need to get away.
And you got the kids off the bus or help?
Well, other people honestly were getting most of the kids off the bus. I didn't get them off the bus, but I told them where to go, and they followed my directions, thank goodness.
And again, so many people like Jay stepped up and did what they needed to do quickly to get people off that bridge so that there were not more fatalities involved in this. But again, as you said, recovery effort underway and more victims probably likely in this as well. Reporting live from Minneapolis from the scene of the bridge collapse, Susie Jones, 830 WCCO Radio News.
Thank you, Susie. Now, Governor Pawlenty expected a call from President Bush this morning, and he also plans to meet with Transportation Secretary Mary Peters when she arrives in town with Senators Amy Klobuchar and Norm Coleman. The governor says he's praying for the victims and their loved ones.
Of course, we are thinking about and praying for the families who've got people who they've lost here or who are injured, and they need to know that we're thinking of them and praying for them on behalf of the whole state and the whole country.
A prayer service is planned at noon today at St. Olaf Catholic Church in downtown Minneapolis and at the St. Paul Cathedral. And to help commuters get where they're going today, MnDOT has converted Highway 280 into a temporary freeway. They've closed the exits between Broadway and County Road B, and we're told by our traffic center that that is actually a very good route, and that's flowing freely this morning. So commuters, that's a very good alternate for you. MnDOT also has other alternate routes on its website, MnDOT.gov, and you can get that information by calling 511 as well. And until 9 this morning, Metro Transit offering extra buses from park and ride lots in the Northern Metro. That information on Metro Transit's website, metrotransit.org. WCCO News time is 8:08.
And to the traffic center now to see how things are working out. Here's Josie.
Good morning. Our problems are mainly on 94. First of all, westbound just past 280, the left lane is closed, so it's about a 15-20 minute wait driving in from Dale Street. That's actually has improved. But then on the Minneapolis side, eastbound 94 near LaSalle, we've got another crash, and that's off to the shoulder. We're seeing traffic come to a halt at Highway 55, so that's kind of getting in your way of taking an alternate into downtown Minneapolis. It's affecting 394 eastbound, slowing from Worth Parkway. And as you just heard Telly mention, yeah, Kevin flew over Highway 280 a little bit ago, checking that as they've turned it into a temporary freeway from 35W to 94. Surprisingly, there's plenty of room through there. I would really advise you to take Highway 280 as that alternate. We're seeing that 35W is really wide open coming south bound through the Blaine area, through Roseville, trying to get onto Highway 280. That's not bad at all. And in the South Metro, eastbound 494 is much slower than usual today from 212 over to France Avenue. Same thing with the westbound side of 494 running through Bloomington. 35W traffic coming northbound through Burnsville into South Minneapolis, trying to get into downtown. That's actually moving along pretty well, and there's plenty of room. Let's go talk to Kevin Plummer.
Josie's still looking at some slow traffic if you're traveling along 694. Some big delays on the westbound side of 694 headed over from Silver Lake Road. You'll find delays continuing all the way over toward the River Bridge. The eastbound side slows down at Long Lake Road. That continues past 35W. That's the latest WCCO Airborne traffic. Here's a look at the WCCO. Radio forecast.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 85. Tonight, clear skies, low 57. Sunshine tomorrow, 85. And then the first chance of showers coming your way Friday night into Saturday. We'll have a high on Saturday of around 85 degrees. And right now, 70 degrees. Sunshine at 830 WCCO. Tim Russell and Dan Terhar with you. And Dan, they did decide to go on with the game last night because they didn't want another 30,000 people in their cars making things worse. But today it's a different story.
Today, just the opposite. Now we don't want people coming into the area that don't need to be. So today's Twins game, the afternoon game with the Kansas City Royals, has been postponed, and as has been their groundbreaking ceremony for the new ballpark that was scheduled for, I think that was at 5 o'clock this evening. Shortly after the ball game. So different scenario. Last night, keep the people there while there's still time to get the traffic in. Keep people out of the area from the rescue vehicles, and then today just the opposite. Postpone the game to you don't bring people into the area today.
So. 5-3, they lose in 10 innings, by the way.
Yes.
Last night. All right, we'll keep you updated on that situation. And Eric Eskola has been at the site of a number of different press opportunities at the Stone Arch Bridge, and he could bring us up to date on that. Eric?
Well, the death toll now is at least 4. It has been scaled back from earlier 9 and reports of 9 and 7 fatalities. It's now at least 4. The number expected to go up. 20 to 30 people unaccounted for. And we just heard from the police chief, the fire chief, MnDOT, Hennepin County Sheriff, and they were very reluctant to give any numbers at all on missing, injured, and unaccounted for. So that is number is going to fluctuate throughout the day. They did say that the traffic perimeter and the recovery is going to be a multi-day situation. So this is for commuting and people that live or use the bridge and the area around the bridge as far as for traffic and live here, this sort of thing. I think there's going to be some disruptions for the next several days, these officials said. A lot of high-tech equipment is being committed to the scene, sonar, GPS. It's sort of interesting how the jurisdictions go. In the water, it's the Hennepin County Sheriff's jurisdiction. Above the water, it's Minneapolis police and fire. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they coordinate all of that. But they said resources are not the issue. Federal, state, local resources all have been committed to this. But it's basically now an issue of coordinating everything. Governor Paletti and Mayor R.T. Ryback, along with some federal, state, local officials, are touring the damage. And we're going to hear from them, we hope, around 9:15, get a report on what they saw in their inspection. But interestingly enough, Rich Stanek, the Hennepin County Sheriff, said that he is not ruling out any cause as yet. And so they're looking at this as a crime scene. And we asked, well, you're just being, that's verbiage, isn't it? You're not really saying that this is sabotage or anything. And he says, no indication there was sabotage, but he said nothing is being ruled in and nothing is being ruled out. So enormous number of news media from everywhere showed up for this thing. So this is really the top story in the nation today.
Yes, indeed. And we'll hear from Police Chief Tim Dolan here in about 10 minutes from right now so we can get an update on that part of the investigation, as you mentioned. And, of course, he's mostly concerned with setting up that perimeter, as you mentioned, as well.
Eric, right. Has anybody speculated yet as to what the timeline for replacing this type of structure would be?
Boy, that's a visionary question and one I don't think that they have gotten to yet. They did say, though, that expect several days for recovery, 3, 4, 5 days of the situation that you have today. So, and replacing that span, boy, who knows? That's a great question.
Yeah, 8 lanes across and a major interstate highway. It's quite the challenge. All right, thank you, Eric. Stand by. Eric Eskola with us this morning. I'm Tim Russell with Dan Terhar sitting in for Dave Lee, and Dave returns on Monday, by the way. We have a nice day underway, and Dan, there were some thoughts that we might get some rain. We were all hoping for that last night, but then as it turned out, probably a good thing it didn't transpire.
Yeah, now it did in the North Metro. We had heavy rain and thunderstorms.
Yeah, Coon Rapids had hail and what about a quarter of an inch of rain?
Yeah, we had, I think we had at least that much in Andover. And so it did rain hard, and there was a lot of thunderstorm activity. But thankfully, that didn't hit the area in which the Minneapolis-St. Paul area where the bridge went down. So that would have only hampered any kind of rescue efforts and anything that was going on there.
We're going to hear from David Lillehog in just a few moments. He represents the contractors that were doing the repair work, PCI out of St. Michael, Minnesota. And they have one employee missing at last count. Some 20 construction workers were on hand yesterday doing the construction work, which we've all become familiar with in the last month or so. We had out-of-town visitors last weekend, and we went over the span as I took them up and down the Mississippi River Boulevard. At any rate, David Lillehog, former U.S. attorney, joining us. He represents PCI out of St. Michael. David, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. That was a rough night.
A very rough night indeed. Tell us about the search for the missing employee. What can you tell us about who was working in that regard?
PCI, which is Progressive Contractors, Inc., had a crew of 18 people on the bridge. 17 were accounted for last night. There is still one person who has not been accounted for. Of the 17 who were on the bridge, they had a lot of harrowing stories last night. One employee was hit by a car, ended up in the water. Even though he was stunned, he somehow realized when he looked up that water was above him and managed to kick his way to the surface. Others of them, as I was talking to them last night, described how they rode the bridge down. So there were some harrowing experiences, and these employees were severely shaken. And, of course, the motorists on the bridge experienced much the same thing.
Just curious about what was going on. We've heard, of course, and we all have seen it, but we weren't paying much attention going over the span over the last several weeks. What part of the bridge were they working on? Do you have any indication of what lanes were being used in that regard?
They completed their work on part of the bridge, and they were just finishing up the second piece of it. This was routine resurfacing work. I mean, it's Minnesota road construction season. You see this kind of work occurring on a lot of bridges around the state. They were replacing deteriorated concrete, patching, and they were just getting ready to put the 2-inch final concrete surface on, working under the supervision of Minnesota Department of Transportation Engineers. So routine work.
Was it on? Was traffic being diverted to one side of the bridge or the other, or was it equally distributed north and south?
You know, I'm not familiar enough with the details of what was diverted and what was not to answer that, Tim. What I can say is these people were not doing structural steel work. This was just concrete maintenance work on the bridge deck on the roadway.
All right, and. Once again, PCI, the company involved, and I'm sure they're shaken up as they await the outcome of this recovery mission.
They're shaken up. They're a tremendous company. They've got an excellent safety record. The project manager on this job has 25 years of experience, and the crew is very experienced as well. Obviously, the kind of work they were doing, they see no connection between that and the bridge collapse, and they, like a lot of people, really want some answers.
Very good. David Lillehog joining us this morning. Progressive Contractors Incorporated. I don't suppose on a related note you want to speculate on the future of Alberto Gonzalez.
No. let's keep the focus local on this day.
But, no comment there. Very good.
Maybe we'll talk about that sometime.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
In the Twin Cities, of course, we're getting all kinds of information from all kinds of sources. As we are going to check in with our traffic situation and Josie to find out how the rush hour has been moving along here with this disaster yesterday. Josie? She'll join us in just a moment here.
Okay, I'm here. Here we go. Hi, guys. We've got places that are really, really packed and then other places that are moving along fine. They've set up 280 as a temporary freeway, so there's no stoplights right now. They've turned them off between 35W and 94, and that is working really well. Not enough people are taking 35W southbound from the north end and just taking that exit to 280. There's really not a lot of traffic there. Those of you on Highway 36, head westbound. Get onto 280. That's wide open pretty much right now in comparison comparison to a lot of other places, like 494 through Bloomington westbound. Unusual delays from almost Pilot Knob Road to 35W. Drivers seem to be avoiding the crosstown in 35W in South Minneapolis, but there's not a lot of traffic there, so there's not a reason to do that. Eastbound 494, that's delayed from 212 to France Avenue, another unusual delay. Now, 94 is our other problem area in Minneapolis and St. Paul. If you're heading west on 94 past 280, barrels are in the left lane. It's a 15-minute wait from Dale Street. Eastbound 94 at LaSalle, that crash is cleared. We've had a couple of crashes in downtown Minneapolis, so that's why eastbound 94 is packed coming in from Highway 55. The city of Minneapolis is asking you to avoid Washington Avenue. With everything going on with the bridge collapse, that's just an area they say please stay away. They have some closures, including West River Parkway between 13th Avenue and 1st Street.
Josie, I think we'll break here and go to CBS for this quick update, and we'll have more traffic coming up.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Steve Kathan. The hunt for answers in the deadly Minneapolis bridge collapse will stretch from the huge chunks of concrete to the depths of the murky Mississippi River. Fire Chief Jim Clack.
This is not a rescue operation any longer. It's a recovery operation, which means we move slower and more deliberately. We want to make sure and search everywhere.
CBS's Jennifer Miller in Minneapolis says the official death toll was lowered a little while ago to 4.
The fire chief says that he believes that there are even more cars underneath the surface of the water than they can currently see. He thinks that the death toll will rise and that this will become much worse as the investigation goes on.
Bernie Toivonen's one of the lucky ones, on the bridge and escaping with just a scare.
I knew right away it was going down. It felt like weightlessness in the vehicle, and I went down.
What about the cause?
We're not ruling anything in. We're also not ruling anything out. Again, this is a crime scene as far as we're concerned. Until we know the exact cause of the bridge collapse last night.
County Sheriff Richard Stanek, Homeland Security officials say it's not terrorism. Governor Tim Pawlenty says there was work on the 40-year-old bridge when it happened.
There was construction taking place on the bridge relating to concrete repair and rehabilitation and replacement, guardrail replacement, lighting replacement, and work on the joint.
A federal report 2 years ago called the bridge structurally deficient. CBS News Special Report, I'm Steve Kathan.
In the Twin Cities now, 70 degrees. We have a fair sky. It's a 921. Tim Russell, Dan Terhar with you. We have a lot of the folks in Washington coming in, and that includes Transportation Secretary Mary Peters flying in with Senator Norm Coleman and Senator Amy Klobuchar and Representative Keith Ellison, all in the same plane from Washington this morning. And as soon as she gets here, she'll be meeting with the governor. They'll be looking at the site along with Mayor R.T. Rybeck, getting a first-hand report on what's going on in Minneapolis.
As people are getting up this morning, I'm sure they hoped, as you and I did, Tim, that there would be more answers and we would know more details. But we're finding out, and we've been told, that this recovery process is going to, not hours, but days. It's going to take days. Because of the conditions they're working in, because of the current of the river, because they can't just jump in and start pulling stuff, debris, and cars out of the water. This has to be done very methodically and very slowly.
We have heard varying reports about the fatalities. Last night, 7 confirmed dead was the number we heard. This morning, Star Tribune went with 9 confirmed dead. Now, that has been downgraded to 4 confirmed dead, which is, I guess, good news, but we're still waiting to see what's going to happen once the recovery gets.
Almost
we have
certain.
Tim Dolan joining us, the Minneapolis police chief, who has maintained a perimeter this morning. And Chief Dolan, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you getting what kind of cooperation are you getting from the public, and what would you wish the public to know about the scene of this tragedy yesterday?
Well, it's a big scene, and there's a lot of people that are affected by this, and it's but at this point, it's a recovery mission. It's also a crime scene. We're going to be very, very methodical. We're not even going to, pull a vehicle out until we, we're making sure we've got every vehicle plotted as to where they're at and where they're at in the water even. So it's all part of the making sure that the reconstruction's right. So,
Chief Dolan, in the coming days then, because there's obviously going to be many days, what do you want the public to know? What should they be doing or not doing?
Well, we'd really like the public, we are having some problems with people, you know, gawkers and so forth that, you know, are trying to sneak down to the scene or so forth. You know, and there's plenty of media pictures and coverage of the scene. We're the police are gonna keep them out of that area, and we're gonna be we'll be shagging them. So instead of having those confrontations, we prefer that, you know, people not do that. If there are people, family members, concerned people that have about possible relatives or friends, they should be calling the numbers that are advertised for those for the EOC and others.
And in the press conference, you were talking about estimating a number of those who might be presumed missing. How did you come up with any kind of information relating to the potential for missing people?
Well, one of the things we know from the officers that responded initially was the number of cars that were in the water that went down, and there's a great number of vehicles that that you don't see looking at the from the, you know, the video of the bridge that are just under the surface of the water. And so and we also know there's people here at the scene that are deceased that we couldn't safely remove, but we so we know a number of those people are here too. So,
what's the estimate of the number of vehicles that your people have been able to count?
We're guessing there's at least 20 more. That's just a guess from what you that you can't see from the videos that you've been watching.
Chief, how will you deal with manpower issues? Because obviously you have to deal with the, you know, the normal daily routine of your department, but you have this added stress.
You know, we got great assistance last night. St. Paul came over, helped us with calls. We've done that when they've had major events and incidents. We have now a great number of people from other agencies around the metro area, every suburb, Edina, Bloomington, Eden Prairie, state patrols, but and people from out state. Those people will be manning perimeter positions, you know, because we can put them on those posts, and we'll be putting our people back in the precinct. So getting all that scheduled and getting all that done is a yeoman's job, and we've got a staff working on that.
What's the theory about breaking this scene into different quadrants?
We have four quadrants, you know, northeast, southeast, and it's each quadrant has a commanding officer, and that's just for perimeter control.
Very good, to keep things under control for the days
right.
ahead.
Right.
All right, we thank you so much. Police Chief Tim Dolan, thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
The Red Cross Family Inquiry Line, by the way, that the chief mentioned, 612-871-7676. And that Family Assistance Center established at the Holiday Inn Metrodome, that's at near Seven Corners at 1500 Washington Avenue South. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers for those who are still concerned about missing relatives and wanting to find out more information. It's got to be a terrible situation as they wait for that information to come in. But we will keep you updated throughout the morning here at 830 WCCO.
Chief Dolan, for good reason, sounded tired. And there's a lot of people that have been at this since about 6:15 last night and have not had a chance to rest, probably not a chance to sit down.
We should mention that our website, 830wcco.com, has a linkage to all the numbers we've been talking about this morning. So if you want to get updates on not only that but other information relating to this tragedy, 830wcco.com is a good place to go. 8:28 now, and let's check on the traffic. Josie Smith has been keeping an eye on things for us this morning. Josie?
Good morning. It looks like in a few places things are starting to empty out. In fact, 694 westbound traveling through Fridley was one of our hot spots earlier, and it's starting to loosen up. 94 westbound still busy from Lexington to 280 with the left lane closed at 280. 94 is improving into downtown Minneapolis, although it is going to be slow. Eastbound past the Lowry Hill Tunnel heading over towards 35W. 494 westbound, unusual delays from Pilot Knob Road to 35W. Just take the crosstown. That's got plenty of room pretty much right now. 494 eastbound slow from 212 to France Avenue. Highway 280 being used as a temporary freeway, and it's moving great between 35W and 94. Go ahead and take that. Report brought to you by Tylenol headache. Tylenol, what makes Tylenol so unique isn't just its commitment to safety, it's also the people that make it. That's the latest traffic, and Tim has your forecast.
And it looks like sunshine today with a high of 85, clear tonight 57, tomorrow's high 85. We're looking for another chance of rain coming up on Friday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight with a low overnight 60. Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy, and there's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and Saturday's high 85. 70 right now is sunshine, 830 WCCO.